Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dunami Therapy on October 15th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, mostly anime, some of which airs on Toonami. Actually, The Amazing Race started up, so we might be discussing some of that on the pod cast, but we'll save that towards the end, so if you just want to hear our anime ramblings, you know, you don't have to wait through that. Okay, so speaking of anime ramblings, we start out with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode 37. We are very close to the end now. So Yavlo tries to get the arrow thing, but they're able to stop him. Everyone's goes back to their bodies because they beat the chariot or whatever. But since Bucciarati's body is dead, that just kills him. Okay, I guess that, although we know, so since that guy who, because Diavolo had that weird sort of split personality, and that there's other guy, Doppio, so I guess he just died kind of anticlimactically, which just makes me wonder, well, gee, what was the point of him even being around? Was he? I guess he was just there for some comic relief, really. Anyway. Anyway, so ultimately, Giorno is able to get the arrow, hit his own stand with it, which powers it up and allows it to. Okay, I'll be honest, I'm kind of confused about exactly what happens here, but it makes it so that they beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was kind of anticlimactic the whole way this thing went down. I was expecting something really exciting, and it was like, oh, okay, so you got this arrow, and now power's up, and now it's over. And I don't know. I guess I was expecting something else. So, yeah, kind of disappointing for it to end like this, because I really did enjoy this arc a lot. I know it's not totally over, but I mean, I was hoping for something more exciting, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what's the deal with, like, the fact that the bad guy's name always has to start with D and end with O? Is there a reason for that?
Isn't that only Dio and Diavolo? Because Kira didn't... Kira wasn't... Kars wasn't... So it's really just two, although since Dio was the enemy twice, I guess that does count to being two-fifths of the...
And don't forget Doppio.
Doppio. Well, Doppio is just with Diavolo, so... yeah. To be fair, I mean... they're in Italy, and so many Italian names end with O anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the problem I had
is... Well, I forgot even who... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, you were saying, or something, what were you saying?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. The problem I have is that, okay, so we look at the previous, parts. This felt like it wasn't, the victory wasn't really a culmination of the fight. It's just like, hey, I got the plot coupon, and now I can cash in that plot coupon. That's my problem, because like when we look at the previous ones, well, actually I can't really remember too well the battle against Dio in part one. I remember it felt kind of anticlimactic, but I remember, okay, they fight and they manage to overpower him. It wasn't just a matter of, hey, I got the plot coupon and can cash it in. The second one was, again, you know, some actual skill and strategy. Joseph beats Cars because he's able to essentially launch him into space.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, probably, I think that was the best sort of final boss fight in JoJo so far, when Jotaro is against Dio. And while it did spoil itself a little by having Jotaro get the Deus Ex Machina of also having the powers over time freezing, other than that, I thought it was very good. It was a real struggle. They had to fight theirs back and forth. It was a deserved victory. And, actually, I can't even... I'm having trouble remembering how Kira was beaten. It's such a weird blank. I can't remember that. I can remember the stuff that went, like, up until the absolute final confrontation, including that weird part where he was able to basically rewind time and in this weird way. But not that final thing, so... but I seem to remember there at least still was a struggle. Here it's just, again, oh, I got the arrow. I stabbed my stand with it. I win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my big problem with it. It just doesn't feel like there was enough of a real strategy to it. It was just a matter of, like, he who grabs the arrow wins. Okay, so that was JoJo, and we've got Assassination Classroom Episode 7. So they go on a field trip, one of the members of the class gets kidnapped, and then they rescue them. This episode was very dissonant with its tone. Like, there's, like, kind of funny, goofy stuff, and then there's, like, some stuff that's actually treated really seriously and kind of darkly, you know, with the kidnapping. And then it's just, oh, hey, here's some funny, they managed to rescue them, and it's in a funny way because they have that, 1,000-page guidebook that Koro-sensei made that includes guides on what to do if someone gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the biggest problem I had is after the kidnapping, there's that part where everything is treated very seriously and quite darkly. If that had just not happened, if it had been treated a bit more lighthearted the whole way through, then I think I would have liked the episode a lot more. Because it would have been, oh, okay, so we do that, but the characters managed to actually find them because of the 1,000-page guide book that explains everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have too much else to say about this episode. Did you?
Nope, not really. I guess I kind of like the gag with the 1,000-page book, but other than that, it was just a so-so episode.
Yeah, the book was the best thing. It reminds. Did you ever watch DuckTales? Or read any of, like, the Scrooge McDuck comics? Oh, well, it reminded me there's always that gag of Huey, Dewey, and Louie have that Junior Woodchuck's Handbook, which is this, like, tiny book that has information on everything in the world, apparently. It just reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So then we have Black Clover, episode 135. So Finral has decided that because he wants his relationship with, I can't remember her name, Phineas or something, to be, like, real, he decides, I'm going to have to do training to make sure I can resist other women. So he So in sort of repeat of this earlier episode where they had a sort of mixer thing because he was trying to get a date, there's another one of those in which he sets that up and gets the some of the other characters to join him in it. Honestly, the whole and actually to his credit, that he actually does manage to accomplish his goal and stuff. But for the most part, this is just a silly comedy episode, and it manages to do a very good job at that.
And Noel was like over the top in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I think you saw the original episode because we're talking like way early. This would have been around, I don't know, episode 25 or something. Not somewhere around that. That where they had that plot, and this one a bunch of the gags are kind of repeated or done in a different way in this episode, which but it does kind of have a lot of its own new stuff, and I thought it was a funny episode. There's just not too much to say about it other than hey, this was a funny episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so we have that. Oh, one. It was, yeah, and actually, like I said, the best filler episodes are the ones that are just, let's be funny, because if you're funny, then it doesn't matter if the plot doesn't matter or whatever, just be funny. And it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so then we get to, alright, that's our Toonami stuff. On to our other things. So we got Tales of the Abyss episodes 21 and 22. So let's see. So they're trying to figure out how to deal with the miasma, which is causing problems and threatening to kill everyone. They're like, well, to do it, you need to do this thing, except it'll kill the person who does it, and also requires 10,000 other people to die. And then they end up having to actually do it, but lucky them, all they come across all those replicas that previously served Moe's, and they're like, hey, are you willing to die for the greater good? And they're just like, sure, it's not like we were doing something else. So then there's just some sort of fighting stuff between Ash and Luke about who should do the sacrifice. Luke ends up doing it, but he doesn't die because he has the power of being the main character. That's it. They apparently managed to solve the problem. And we've only got four episodes to go, so we'll see what happens then, whether it's a matter of, oh, well, we didn't find out. So in those remaining episodes, it's either going to be, oh, I guess we didn't solve this after all, whoops, or there will just be some other enemy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was a little weird, that whole thing. We got to have 10,000 people sacrifice themselves. And yeah, that just kind of felt kind of, I don't know. But yeah, these episodes were okay, but I don't know what else to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, when you get down to it, it was just not that much happened exactly. Although, I think, Deist, that one villain, shows up in the machine, and they fight, and then he dies after a quick fight, because all the fights are kind of quick in the show, because I guess you can't stimulate mm-hmm. the boss battles, right? Yeah, that's that episode. Okay, so next then we have Ghost in the Shell episode 31. So, our main characters end up After there's a death threat at the Prime Minister, they get assigned as essentially bodyguards for her. They're also trying to investigate, the information about that symbol they saw, because we learn about like what I assume is going to be the arc for this season, which is the individual 11. It mentions. Here's something interesting, because he mentions about how this was something that happened in Japanese history when they were talking about on May 15th of 1930, something or other, there was this assassination of the prime minister, and how the people who got put on trial for it ended up managing to just use it as a way to try to, advertise their cause, and then that actually got a bunch of people to go with them. But the important thing is it mentions about how they got sent a box of fingers, and it said, and this says it was 11. But when I looked it up online, it said there were 9 of them. So I don't know if what I was looking at was wrong, or whether the show got it wrong, or maybe this is some alternate history and the number is different.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about that. But anyway, someone does make an attack on the Prime Minister. They manage to fend the guy off, and then we get the weird ending where he just gets away, and then like the major says something about, because they're like, oh, you saved the Prime Minister, like, you saved my life or something like that, and then the major's like, well, it's possible he had no intention of killing you, and that's it. We don't find out why she thinks that. She just says it. You're like, well, what do you base that on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than that, I did think it was an enjoyable episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did you want to say anything?
No, I don't really have anything to add on that one.
Okay.
It was kind of boring for me, so yeah. I liked the first couple episodes, and then these last couple haven't been so good, so hopefully it gets better.
Ghost in the Shell was always a show that had some pretty good episodes and some not so good episodes mixed in. It's just kind of like when you have it be episodic like this, that just kind of happens. All right, so then we've got what our the new show we were watching. It premiered last time, but we weren't able to I didn't watch it yet. I caught up, so I guess we can go. We'll just cover the 2 episodes of Yashahime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first one was kind of like one of those episodes where it's like, let's find out what everyone was doing in the last so many years since we saw them. And it was all about the original cast and a thing with them. But it did show that there's this one girl who's like kind of captured in this episode. And so none of that was really explained, but there was, a typical Inuyasha fighting off, these demons that come up, and Roku no longer has his wind tunnel. And so he's kind of useless now. And it looks like Sango Moroku's oldest child. He's now a demon slayer himself, and he works with Kohaku, who was his Sango's brother. And that old woman Kaede is somehow still alive.
Well, I don't think this was. I thought this was only like, I didn't think this was very far after the ending of the series, in fairness, or at least past the epilogue.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it was a little confusing, but I don't think it was very shortly after.
Well, if we're talking about the first episode's main plot, I think it was fairly shortly after the epilogue. Now, if we're talking about episode 2, that's a lot farther in, and somehow Kaede is still alive. That's the part where it starts getting more implausible. But we'll wait for that. Keep going. Finish with episode 1.
Yeah, so episode 1, just kind of like a reintroduction to the characters. Episode 2, so we find out that Susomaru somehow had two daughters, and the only thing anyone cares about over on the Facebook page is who the mother is. So it is a daily topic over there, is who the mother is. We don't know that yet. But what we do know is that he had two daughters, and for some reason, he just left them off on their own to take care of themselves. And that was a bad decision, because now they get separated in a fire, and one of them gets transported into modern day Japan, where Kagome's brother is now an adult, and he raises her as his child. So we got that. And then she likes to dress like a boy, and she gets into fights all the time. And where was I? I'm trying to remember where I'm at now.
It was just mentioning that she got into fights and such.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what happened with that whole thing with all those bullies.
Well, so she beats up a bunch of bullies. The bullies decide, one of them gets his older brother, who decides, well, let's see, there's only one reasonable solution. We should kidnap and threaten to kill her family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that happens, and then somehow her sister shows up, and they're back into the modern day Japan, and they beat the bullies, but now they gotta deal with the fact that they don't know who each other are, and that's kind of the setup for the next episode. So I loved the first two episodes, but I'm interested to hear what you think.
Okay, going into the series, I already knew, I mean, like, I knew the stuff. Okay, it's going to be something about Inuyasha and Kagome's daughter, and also two kids of Susomaru by a not currently known mother. So when we have that thing with, I wrote down their names because so I could actually remember them. So the first episode is mostly that stuff with, you know, at some point after the epilogue of the original series. But then there's sort of this but that was apparently something that then there's stuff that takes place more in the, well, quote unquote present, but I mean the present of the past, with Toa, because she got captured and then the other two rescue her. And originally I thought, oh, Toa, oh, is she like the is she the kid of Kagome and Inuyasha? And then the other two show up, and I see one of them. I'm like, okay, that's totally okay. It's not her. She's Toshomaru's daughter. That other kid. Oh well, this girl. She's dressed like Inuyasha. Has hair like him, except it's black, and she's got both bows and a sword. I wonder. That was. But yeah, then the second episode, we kind of get some stuff that happened before that point with Toa getting sent to the future, well, the present, the future of the present of the original series. yeah, well, then we got that weird stuff about her getting, you know, the family getting captured and stuff, which is just like, you know, that's like a... That's multiple counts of major felonies. Is that really something you think you could get away with? I mean, I know that... Well, actually, anime seems to frequently have, like, kidnapping stuff, I've known. I mean, Assassination Classroom had one. But those are usually more toward, yeah. You know, just like a specific individual... And then you let, or whatever, compared to, you know, oh, we're going to get a bunch of people in order to do that. But anyway, so yeah, we do find out that she's despite being sent to the future, she's got, like, the powers and stuff. But here's the part that's confusing, very confusing. So then there's a part where we see... The future of the past. This is going to be so confusing to talk about. The one where at this point, it's clearly a good while since the epilogue of the original series, because you know Hisui, the first kid of Miroku and Sangu, is like is older and apparently grown up and stuff. And so then he and the others are fighting with Moraha. That's again the Inuyasha's kid. And I'm just like, shouldn't they know each other?
Yeah. Yeah, I was totally same with you on that. I was like, what? Like, that didn't make any sense. And apparently Moroha sees like kind of like they were treating her like she was a villain.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute, how could Inuyasha and Kagome's daughter be a villain? And it's like, that was so weird. I was totally confused by that. Now, unlike you, I had already known which one was which, like the names of them and who they were. But, so that was a little weird. And everyone was making a joke that, like, Moroha is like, all Inuyasha and no Kagome. yes, he has black hair, but remember, Inuyasha had black hair when he turned human. So
yeah, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that plot point. It really wasn't brought up much. That was a question. It reminds me of that thing in the final chapter of Bleach, where Ichigo's kid meets that other kid. They're meeting, and like one is surprised to find the other is a Soul Reaper, including, you know, the whole what? And I'm just like, their parents knew each other. Shouldn't they have met each other and known that kind of thing? I have, but it seems even more extreme here because, like, okay, I can get, you know, Sesshomaru's daughter, like, one of them does not know Moraha, because, you know, she was off in the woods or whatever. But shouldn't, you know, Kohaku is there. He should know. He should know that. So should Hisui's, Moroku's kid. So I'm that's very confusing. I did see some discussion. I saw a bunch of speculations that somehow people's memories got shifted of things, which could also explain why what was Kagome's brother's name again? He's in this, and I can't remember. Sota, that was it. How he doesn't apparently think, oh, wow, this girl, I wonder if she might be from the past or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I could understand not recognizing it just based on what she knew, because if she had just kind of lived in the woods with her sister, I mean, she wouldn't have any idea about whether it was the present or the past. But once you start seeing, oh, wow, she's got superpowers and stuff, you know, maybe that's something related to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's some confusing things here, definitely.
I'm hoping that these will be given explanations and they're not simply plot holes.
Bleach would have something to say to you about that.
There are so many things about the Bleach world that the author clearly just either he never thought them through, or he thought them through in detail and just never felt the need to tell the audience the answers to all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to know how people can be born in the afterlife. Okay. So that was Yashihime. That was the first two episodes. They were decent and interesting enough. I actually kind of wish maybe we had waited on it because then we could have just gone through the stuff faster. Because I'm like, I want to know what's happening next because I want to know if these things get explained. That's my biggest problem with it, which might not be a problem if we get some of these things I've been discussing explained. I just want that is the basic problem I've got, because at this point I don't know if the writers are aware, okay, this is going to be a plot twist and be explained, or if they just didn't notice or didn't care about this. That's the problem. It's so early, I cannot know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we've got Attack on Titan episode 53. So we have two kind of plots going on. The first is they have to deal with the colossal Titan, and they're not really sure what to do, but they try to fight it and doesn't work so well. Eren tries to fight to tackle it, and we actually for the first time the colossal Titan is big. Because Eren in his Titan form, like, goes up to his ankle, basically.
Yep.
I remember, that suddenly makes me remind me of something, and I'll look it up while I explain it. So then the colossal Titan just kicks Eren and sends him flying. So he's knocked out. Things are looking pretty bad for the characters on that side. Meanwhile, on the other side of the wall, the Beast Titan has decided to take up, I'm not sure if it's bowling or baseball, but he refers to wanting to play a perfect game, which involves throwing, you know, rocks at the scouts and killing a bunch of them. And it seems like everything's bad, not going to out, everything seems terrible, but Erevin does come up with the plan of basically having him and everyone else charging a suicide thing at him at the Beast Titan to distract him so Levi can go and take him out. He gives a fairly rousing speech, which I'm like, okay, yeah, I could be convinced to basically rush forward to my death based on that. Except that we do get a really weird sort of ending spot to the episode where they're just charging and Erevin just gets hit by a boulder, and that's literally where it is. He gets hit, and that's it.
Okay, I only heard half of what you said because we're getting connection issues.
Oh.
So I want to tell you what my thoughts were. I noticed Levi, he's kind of like, well, I guess I'll go and do this. And then Erevin's like, how about I just sacrifice myself? And Levi's like, oh, yeah, that sounds a lot better. Yeah, yeah, we'll go with that plan instead. And that's the way it seemed to me. It was like Levi was like kind of like forcing Erevin to kill himself because he didn't want to do it himself. And everyone acts like Levi is such a tough guy. He really isn't. He's like Donald Trump, really. Everyone thinks he's tough, and he isn't. And I just thought some of the thinking was, like, really dumb. Like, how are they going to do anything by all just going on this all-out charge at him? That just doesn't seem to make any sense. It felt like an excuse for one of those Lord of the Rings moments where you have the, the commander gives the big speech and gets, you know, everyone fired up, and then they go into battle. And it was like, you know, yeah, that was a good speech, but your plan makes no sense and is almost guaranteed to fail, except if there's, you know, plot armor, like you say. So, yeah.
Well, I can explain some of it if you want. Maybe make it make more sense. Uh-oh, are we having connection issues again?
Yeah.
Okay, did you hear what I said?
I can barely hear anything.
Let me think. Are you hearing me okay now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So, I'll try that again. Okay. So to try and explain what was going on, because it was admittedly a little confusing. I understood it better because I've seen it before. So originally Levi was basically saying, okay, well, this situation seems basically hopeless for us. We can't beat him with this. The best we can probably, unless you have some plan, the best we can probably hope for is just to try to get Erevin to, you know, grab as many people as possible and get out of here so there's some survivors. So then Erevin says what he, and Levi suggests, you know, that he wants to try to take out the Beast Titan, because even if it seems hopeless, because he might as well try and it would serve as a distraction. So Erevin's basic idea is this. He wants the people to go in to attack directly towards the Beast Titan and the others, which will, of course, make the Beast Titan go throw the things at them and pay only attention to them. Meanwhile, Levi would go after the Beast Titan himself, but he'd be able to do it by basically, because the Beast Titan has that big row of Titans around him, Levi could essentially just jump from Titan to Titan until he gets there and can take him out while he's distracted attacking all of the people he thinks are just doing a suicide charge.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically the idea. It's just a matter of, well, if we do, since we're basically going to die, we'll just do this suicide run to distract him so that Levi can more or less sneak up behind him and take him out. So I don't know if that make more sense to you now, or...
I didn't hear half of it, so sorry.
Oh.
It's breaking up way too much. So, yeah, I hardly heard anything of what you just said. So, yeah.
Do you want me to try to restart the modem and then talk?
No, we're... No, let's just try to wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it'll work better next week then, and we are close to the end. So I don't know. I was planning to maybe talk briefly about the Amazing Race, but if our connection's bad, we might want to hold off on that.
It's not happening this week.
Okay, yeah. We'll just go through our top threes quick then. All right, so for me, I would say for third, I think I'd put in Yashahime. For second, I would put Black Clover. And for first, I think I enjoyed it a lot more than you did, but I would actually put Attack on Titan. I did like the stuff with Erevin a lot.
Yeah, so third place would be... probably JoJo, and then second place would be Tales of the Abyss, and then first place will be Yasuhime. So that's my top three.
Yeah. I always give a top three and then like start reconsidering, thinking, well, maybe I should have put Black Clover in first because I did really find it funny. Maybe I should have moved stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, these top threes are always tentative, cause, I suppose, to a certain extent. Okay, so to I'll just get through before our connection problems are over. you can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. Sorry for some of these issues we've been having at the end. I probably should try to see if I can figure something out about my internet, but that's what we've got here. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.